to introduce yourself. Free State, Cheetahs is doing well lately in rugby. Northern Cape. Northern Cape. Eastern Cape, yes. Northwest. Northwest is here. The others submitted apologies. We've got Salga here. There's Salga. We've got the main role player for today's meeting, although all is important, is DBSA is here. FFC, Mr. Kumalo, acting chair of the FFC is here. The Auditor General's office is represented. And the National Treasury is here. There they're sitting at the back. So, yes. The purpose of this meeting is to zoom into the program that was developed to assist specific local government in terms of financial. Yes, sir. Honorable. Pumalanga. Where's Pumalanga? Sorry. I apologize. It's a very important province because the sun rises on that side of the of South Africa. You're welcome, Pumalanga. I made a mistake. Very important meeting to zoom into the program that was developed to assist specific local government, but also the second sphere of government, the provinces, provincial departments, etc., under the name of the Session Manji program. We dealt yesterday with the annual report of the Development Bank of South Africa under the CEO leadership of Mr. Beloy. There was apology submitted to us by email coming from Mr. Moleketi, as well as for his deputy chairperson, that they can't attend this meeting because of prior commitments. Now, I can't recall that we ever met the chairperson of the board in Parliament. Engagement was always with the CFO, etc. So there's outstanding engagement. And we will diarize this meeting for 2012, before the beginning of the third term of 2011. And that date will be passed on, that it can be diarized. This Parliament, in terms of Section 69 of the Constitution, can call anyone to come and appear before a committee to be accountable. So that was the apology, and then the other apology from the Deputy Minister Nene, who had a death in the family yesterday. I interacted with him. We conveyed our condolences. So he will also not be present. Although Mashashiwe presently in that program meeting. Any other apologies? Oh, yes, Honorable Mamela, also a member of this committee and deputy chairperson of the NCOP, is also engaged in that program meeting. Myself, Charles Depierre, I'm chairperson of the Select Committee on Finance, because we are a good big gathering. And the other objective of this type of meeting is to get more and closer engagements between the NCOP, the provinces, the chairpersons of portfolio committees, the different portfolio committees, and stakeholders, because we want family. We call it the finance family. And the provinces, when they leave here today, can already start engaging with DBSA to come and visit the provincial legislator and do a briefing to the legislator as a collective of all the committees, what is DBSA doing in South Africa and Southern Africa, because they are also engaged in countries outside our borders. That is also part of the objective. Let's start on the right-hand side.
Yeah, thank you. My name is Niels Varein. I'm chairperson of Public Accounts Finance Office of the Premier and Treasury in the Free State.
The Social Afrikaans is a backfall guy.
The member of the finance committee.
scripture they would quote in Mpumalanga.
Very entirely member of the committee. Good morning, I'm Charlie Mutupi, Chairperson, Cobden Northwest.
Good morning, Howard, our Chairperson, Finance and Premier's Office.
Oli Lengata, Chairperson, Local Government and Regional Affairs, Eastern Cape.
My name is Jack Becker, I'm a member of this committee.
Good morning, Chairperson. Good morning, everybody. My name is Dennis Bloom, and I am from a beautiful province, the Free State. Thank you.
The Northern Cape are bordering on the Free State.
I'm Yuri Soland from the Communications Office in Parliament. Good morning, I'm Alma Kroon here. I'm a researcher at Free State Legislature.
Good morning, my name is Jackie Zikwe from the Free State Legislature.
Good morning, Elanda Chazov, researcher for the Committee on Appropriations.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning. My name is Simon Mnongo. I'm a researcher for the Select Committee on Finance.
Morning. My name is Johnny Van Wester, and I'm from the committee section.
And see that service delivery at the end of the day is a good result at grassroots level. When we knock on doors and the people ask, you know, what are you doing for me? Then you can answer the question. What interaction was there since this program kicked in between these role players sitting here? Did you speak to each other on paper or were there serious interaction? Because when we visit provinces, we hear that I sent the email from Pretoria to Nelspruit, and the email returned from Nelspruit to Pretoria, and that was the evaluation done. That's 30% of the work. Get into your car, you visit the specific municipalities, provincial departments, treasuries, etc. That's how work is done. Not only in paper. What can we learn from you as the different stakeholders? Seeing what has been put into this program, also money-wise, and people deployed. We asked the CEO yesterday, Mr. Malloy, to submit to this committee who was deployed to which municipality doing what. We would like to know that. Because I've got my own experience in my municipality where I'm deployed, Kamiesberg in the Northern Cape. But if you see what was put into the program and you read, and what was the objective? Excuse me. And you read the report of the Auditor General on municipalities, there's a mismatch. Something faded away somewhere. That's why I asked the question. What interaction was there amongst you as role players with one objective, to improve financial management, to improve capacity building, to improve technical support and things to happen at grassroots level, etc. Now that is an entree. I'm going to do it a bit differently this morning. That's for the first round, you register honorable members and also from the researchers, your questions. Let Mr. Malloy take it out. And after that first round, he zooms into his presentation. After that, we will give the Auditor General the opportunity to come in, FFC, Treasury, SALGA. Because when we leave here today, we must get a practical way forward. It is not just a meeting to have a meeting. Then we are failing the people of South Africa. What is our way forward to do things differently and to improve? So all the members, I'll knock your names down for the first round.
Municipalities that is under administration, the DBSA has
has to deploy people there. But these people has become part of the problem. And I want to know is the qualifications and quality of the people that they deploy to municipalities. Because the one that I'm referring to is the municipality of Maseliana, which is Tienes and Wimbas in that area. And the reports that we got from public accounts, when we called in the municipalities on the annual audit reports, is that the deployee there of the VBSA was part of the problem, or he created more problems than he corrected. So that is a comment, but the question to that is, what is the VBSA doing to ensure that there is quality people being deployed? And then also just a last comment is that ever since I left Parliament in 2009, I haven't seen an annual report of the DBSA in the provinces. So I'm just wondering, why is that? Why don't we receive the annual reports? Thank you.
We also welcome our honourable member from the Northern Cape. Let's give her an opportunity to get seated. Yes, the next honourable Chani is from the Northwest. We are neighbours. Please introduce yourself, honourable member. Please introduce yourself to the meeting.
My name is Gladys Mwipola. I am the chairperson of the Portfolio Committee of COGSTAR in the Northern Cape. Thank you.
Thank you. Honorable Mashile.
Thank you, Chairperson. The 11,000 that we talked about yesterday on that website, and one still seeks to know who are those and how are they related to the municipalities where interventions are made. Chair, the question still persists that we should get much more clarity. I think Mr. Baloyi, I think, would try and really clarify. The question still persists: how many municipalities can continue and operate in those specific sections of the municipalities where DBSA has intervened without DBSA, as we speak today? If DBSA pulls out of a municipality today, in those sections where they've intervened, whether in the management or whether in the IT or whether in the technical division, if DBSA today pulls out, in how many municipalities will those specific areas operate and function in an acceptable manner? I think that's what the chair we need to get much more clarity. And also, Chair, I think a follow-up to my colleague on the left is to get the view of DBSA on the use of the name young professionals when actually referring to trainees. What is their view? Because as far as I'm concerned, it is misleading to the people that are supposed to be getting help from the person, and they believe that they are getting it from a professional when that person is not a professional. What is the view of the DBSA? If I'm correct, whether they intend changing the name that they are using, because it is misleading on the ground. Thanks, Chair.
Member Chani.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, I would like to suggest or request that perhaps we allow the DBSA to make its presentation, but as they do that, they should also attempt to clarify
Johnny, that's why we started this way. The gentleman there against the wall, please introduce yourself. We didn't miss you.
I will not be against the wall. My name is Pongama, and the surname is Masawe. I'm from the National Department of Cooperative Development.
Welcome here. You can make use of that, those microphones at that desk there. Mr. Beloy, over to you. You may address the committee. The other stakeholders, take your notes. You will get your opportunity to come in as well.
What then are the new custodians of the intervention? What do they need to take with them? that they can then do, they can then maybe hopefully take the process forward. But what is going to be a huge distinction is for this to work, it cannot be done by just 600 people. It needs scale and size if we are to address all the issues that we're talking about. That's probably part of what you need to consider as to what the size of scale and what is being proposed, I think, from COPTEM is leading into that direction. And we hope that if it's properly executed, hopefully, we will be talking about a situation where we see massive changes going forward. But it's a good starting point, having said that. So what we're going to try and do is to give you the context of the enterprise, how the problem, what was it intended to do, what it took on top of it, over and above its mandate function that it's supposed to do, what the results were year on year. And then from there, we'll give you, I think you've got a report which was done by an independent party, which tells you the purpose and the challenges that we have met. And we can resource and see whether we need to add more on top of that. But it was never a completely successful program. It does have challenges, and we need to deal with those and unravel them. So, Chairman, I'm going to ask the managing director of the fund to just give you the highlights, and then we'll then thereafter wrap up by responding to some of the questions that have been raised and contextualize them, and hopefully we can take the notes to pass on to the new custodian of the intervention. Thank you.
Thanks, Phoebe. Chairperson, honorable members of the House. Chair, the Senzamaji program was started in 2006 by National Treasury and the DBSA. And the intention was to operationalize the project consolidated conceptual framework, which entailed provision of hands-on support to low-capacity municipalities. Chair, the program first targeted the 136 project consolidated municipalities and later upscaled to provide support to the Izim Lizo municipalities, which were identified by the presidency at the time, the 21 urban and rural nodes, and the water services authorities. And share collectively, these municipalities had very high infrastructure backlogs. They were underspending MIG allocations. They had poor financial management and compliance with the MSMA. But also many of them were unable to recruit and retain qualified officials in key positions. Share the deployment process that we have followed as Senzamanji. Our deployment process, Chair, is triggered by requests from municipalities, provinces, and national departments. Each request is followed by an assessment of the capacity needs of the sphere of government placing the request, and using the DBSA internal technical capacity assessment tool, the Sustainable Municipal Reporting System, the results are used to prepare a business plan for the intervention as discussed to the House yesterday. Here, the same results as having finalized the business plan are used to prepare a memorandum of agreement to spell out the roles and responsibilities of the DBSA and government until exit of the deployment. Here, on the next slide, in the slide, we present in detail the Senzamanji capacity building and support focus areas in the three spheres of government. Broadly, Chair, local government level, our interventions have focused on planning, civil engineering, finance, and institutional capacity building. At provincial and national level, our deployments are targeted at unblocking constraints at these spheres of government that impede delivery at local government level. And these are in areas of master planning, project preparation, MIG registration and release, financial monitoring and support, in addition to development of systems and procedures for operations and maintenance, as we'll see in the course of the presentation. Chair, as indicated on the slide, mainly our support has been directed in the departments of human settlements, treasury, cooperative governance, and the Department of Water Affairs. Chair, on the next slide, we present the Senzamaji Integrated Capacity Building Program. The other piece of the slide shows our project cycle as we implement it in the municipalities, beginning with the support to delivery of credible integrated development planning, feasibility studies, support technical reports, drafting of technical reports, and the business plan and all the way to the registration of meat. And chair on the right hand side, then we enter the processes of procurement, supporting procurement as we discussed with the committee yesterday. Implementation of projects through project management as well as support operations and maintenance, as I'm going to be highlighting to the committee shortly. Chair, the Sinzamanji model is driven by municipal deployment. And as indicated earlier, it's in the fields of planning, engineering, and finance. For sustainability of our interventions, deployees provide on-job skills training to officials in the areas of their expertise. Chair, given that Sinzamanji is deployed in local capacity for municipalities, the vacancy rates in these municipalities are very high, ranging between 40 to 60% sometimes. Therefore, Chair, the deployees are paired with young professionals for training towards registration by professional bodies and absorption by municipalities thereafter. Chair, 20%, as we indicated yesterday, of our young professionals have already been absorbed. And where we're sitting today, Chair, we got results from the local government sector. 58 of our finance young professionals have qualified for a national diploma in municipal finance, which is in QF6. Therefore, Chair, we believe that in the course of the work that we've done between affairs and national treasury, we've managed to achieve training and seeing through the young professionals to achievement of their qualification. Chair, in the course of all the job skills transfer to officials, deployees identify need for classroom training. The Greenville Academy provides the recommended practical accredited courses to both officials and counselors, following which, Chair, on return to the municipalities, the deployees assist our officials to apply what they have learned on the job in their respective professions. But also in the process, Chair, they assist the officials to collect portfolios of evidence for submission to the local government theater if the training is up to NQ 5, but if it's higher than that, this is the National Council for Higher Education for certification. Chair, as indicated in the slide, capacity constraints also manifest in provincial and national departments. As a result, we have deployed in second line departments to unblock constraints that impact delivery at local government level, as I indicated earlier. Chair, the DBSA is also in the process of piloting an operations and maintenance program with a view to create an operations and maintenance industry, which is based on small to medium enterprise development. The bank is also, in this process, Chair, also deployed apprentices. We have got about 450 apprentices. 300 of those are Section 13 apprentices, and just over 100 are Section 28 apprentices. And we've done this to support operations and maintenance programs in 65 low capacity municipalities. Chair, there's been much progress and achievements in the last 4 to 5 years. The number of municipalities and departments supported by the Sinzamanji program, Chair, as indicated on the slide, increased year on year from 86 in 2007 to 217 in 2010. Likewise, Chair, the number of deployees increased from 97 in 2007 to 614 in 2010. The program registered a decline in the number of municipalities supported and the number of experts deployed in 2011 due to the reduction in the medium-term expenditure framework allocation by government in that financial year. And here, some of these will clarify as we answer the questions from the members of the committee. Similar things, Chair, on the next slide, we are registered in the development impact performance output. And what we've presented there are the meat expenditure, infrastructure projects that were completed, as well as connections to basic services. However, the number of officials that we trained increased progressively, Chair, due to mobilization of extra donor and fiscal funding by the Greenville Academy, as honorable members may have picked up also from the annual report yesterday. challenges and lessons learned. Share this in the Manje National Working Committee, which is composed of the National Treasury, the Department of Cooperative Governance, the Department of Water Affairs, SALGA and DBSA commissioned a 3-year review to assess output and outcomes achieved, but also challenges and lessons that have been learned by the program as indicated by the CE earlier. The feedback from the sample of 150 interviews, who were mainly officials from both local, provincial, and national government, but also some of our employees and young professionals in the program, indicates that the majority of the problems at municipalities are structural. They are organizational and they are political, and therefore cannot be solved by deploying technical experts alone. Shell, they also pointed out that the high municipal vacancy rate in key technical and senior management posts hampered the development of municipal in-house capacity through training and mentorship of staff. Shell, they also pointed out multiple requests for senior management support, which resulted in more focus on addressing short-term crises than capacity development in municipalities. And there was also, Chair, an indication of the lack of sufficient strategic direction and oversight by government, as prescribed in the Memorandum of Understanding that was signed between DBSA and the National Treasury. And the indication was that this resulted in the program operating in isolation or in parallel with other government initiatives. Chair, a number of these issues are raised in the report that we sent to members of Parliament, and we trust that we will have discussion just to expand on a number of other issues that we have raised in the document. Chair, the unbundling of Senator Manje into national departments. Honourable members will receive the directive from National Treasury and the Org in November 2010 to unbundle the Senator Manje program into the finance and technical streams, as indicated by the Chair in his opening remarks. Through the directive, National Treasury will take over the running of the financial stream and commission DBSA to provide agency services. While the Corps will completely take over the technical deployees with no further DBSA involvement. Therefore, Chair, going forward, since the Manje is now split between the two departments, namely National Treasury and the Corps, the DBSA will no longer be responsible for Senza Manje. In the future, the two departments will also be reporting to parliamentary oversight committees in terms of the operations of the program. And all further inquiries and requests will now have to be directed to either National Treasury or the Corps, depending on the needs. Chair, the CE yesterday spent time with the committee to run the committee through the post Senza Manje areas of focus for the DBSA and the DBSA Development Plan. And Chair, on this slide, briefly, in line with the transformation of DBSA to become the center of excellence, as indicated by the CE yesterday, to support the government's infrastructure delivery program and the national priorities of job creation, skills, and enterprise development, the board has reviewed the fund implementation programs to support the achievement of national priorities. Chair, in this regard, the fund will support national and provincial sector departments to improve grants and capital expenditure for social infrastructure. And this will be done through capacity building and establishment of functional infrastructure project management units. We've already started this, Chair, in a number of provinces. KZN are working with the Department of Health as well as Human Settlements. We are working also here in the Western Cape, in Gauteng, and so on. Chair, the fund will also roll out its sustainable municipal infrastructure operations and maintenance pilot program using small contractors to create a local maintenance industry. The fund is currently in discussion with the Department of Public Works and the National Department of Transport to extend the program to manage provincial and national infrastructure in line with the National Infrastructure Management Strategy. Chair, during the State of the Nation address in February this year, the President announced the establishment of the 9 billion jobs fund. The Minister of Finance has approved that the DBSA operationalizes
the establishment of the Jobs Fund on behalf of National Treasury. The DBSA Government Fund will be providing administrative and technical support for the Jobs Fund and already has finalized a draft framework for sign-off by the National Treasury. Lastly, Chair, in light of the upscale in the implementation of these programs, the DBSA plans to strengthen its back office in the fund, provide implementation support services in the form of the team, which is indicated on the slide, for implementation, and agency services for funding and management of development programs. Following, Chair, the completion of the local government elections on the 18th of May this year, the Bulim Glen Academy, in partnership with SALGA and COPTA, will from July to December 2011 also be conducting courses for counselor induction and thereafter specific training for members of the male council. I'll stop there, Chair, and I thank you, members of the House.
Thank you. Roy, you want to add anything?
Yes, Chair. I want to add and maybe try and deal with some of those people that in the capacity to retain those people in those environments. manage them properly so they can be productive, you know, it's something that's beyond our means to be able to provide it, because it needed a holistic approach by not just itself, but the local authority itself. And that we're not in charge of. It wasn't something that we could do or control. We tried. In some instances, we were very good successes. And I think if we review, if you get the data, you'll see that in some municipalities, it has changed exceptionally well. It wasn't just the effort of DBSA, including the margin. It was a collective effort with all the partners that we had in there. So collective as partners. Some areas we succeeded, some areas we just can't touch base. You know, they're much more difficult and probably more complex and require other interventions for us to be able to do that. So therefore, in that context, Chairperson, for the answer to the question directly, which is contained in the report, that's the one area which the review says we have not done well on the part as a partnership with government, because it was never intended to be a Zanzibar objective alone, but to require input across government. Government does not mean, you know, national treasury or just Procter. It meant a variety of stakeholders to make that happen. The question is, knowing and having learned some of the reasons why it's not happening, what then are we going to do about it? And that's part and parcel of the journey that we now have to sit and say, how do you fix those things? Second question that was asked was around the terminology itself on young professionals. You know, in hindsight, anybody could argue, could have called them, it's a terminology that we never intended that it conveys to the minister that these people have got better technical expertise. The important thing is they had qualifications. They were graduates, they had some bit of training, and our definition of young professionals is intended to demonstrate that we've got senior guys that are qualified engineers that are there, and we've got youngsters that we thought of the universities and persuaded them that government is a good place to work. And that problem in itself was trying to address this big challenge of leaving that institutional capacity on the ground. And it has been a very good success because those people are there. Some of them have deployed, and I think the MD reported back to say that most of them, all of them who wrote the diploma have passed. It's a good progress, and it's a good starting base to begin from, because then maybe if we focus, we can deploy those roughly how many Hamilton in total? 170 young engineers and CAs. You know, the cream of the crop for the nation, if we handle that properly and fix the environment in which they're supposed to work, maybe we can achieve retention, and maybe this guy can actually sit there and work there, and we don't lose them to the private sector. What then are we going to do about it? Hopefully, we'll put programs in there and build on that case. If you look at then what then we talk about, for instance, on page 7 of the application, if you look at that slide, conceptually when we started, we viewed a very small sample of a troubled municipality that we could do, that we could serve. But the more we delve into this, we discovered a very alarming phenomenon, which then said to us, the problems that we're facing are not just at the local authority, at the municipality level. We found ourselves having to deal with the district authority, the provincial authorities, the national departments themselves in terms of capacitating those areas to enable the system to operate. It was not a challenge that we, when we started with the problem, actually in the field, we discovered as we were going along that we have to deal with the entire value chain. In the case of Guam, for instance, we had to literally go to the national, deploy people at the national offices and provinces to deal with the pipeline of the value chain. And this was not part and parcel of what was envisaged. The typical program was deploy somebody at the municipality, an engineer, finance to deal with the municipality. But what we didn't understand is the delivery of infrastructure is on an integrated approach in terms of processing applications and dealing with delivery. You can't just deal with the local authority and think that you can ignore, you know, the national department, because the value chain is structured that way. So unless you fix the entire pipe, you were going to simply end up wasting your cost. And that we did, I think, in certain instances, quite successfully. And that's why you can see the rapid increase, not just of the deployment, but of the disbursement of the mix that we've done of the project on infrastructure that were completed. Huge amount of that spending. Auditors, you can check and validate that it was spent correctly. And where we've made mistakes, we've gone and delved in, people that have been deviants have been punished. We've got all that audited wrong. But can I step back and say we'll resolve the municipality problems? No, we can't do that. Because there is yet remaining challenges. That's why I've raised the issue and I started to say, even then begin by saying, well, what do we need to do? Are these interventions intended to be permanent going forward? If that's a decision we take, then I think the route that the Nations Department are now taking probably is the last one, to review what we've done and take this point of departure and say, learning the lessons here, what if we do wrong, what if we do right, what needs to be added, but much more at a higher scale, because the problem is far bigger for 600 people to actually do. This was a pilot project, with intense pilots, with a targeted intervention, and I think it's a good place to start. So that's our context here, and I think we'd welcome, with what our own views, you know, what we could do. We've given input to COPTA people, they've taken much of the input on board, and our intention is to ensure that the migration of these resources does not do one of two things. One is they are sitting with probably as much as 5,000 projects that they're busy with currently. And those projects need to continue. And we are ensuring that as we migrate these things, they continue and they are not broken down. Because if you do, then you know, it's going to be waste expenditure and all of those things that's going to come after it. So we've got migration problems. Second, we want to make sure that in terms of system and things that they will need, some of that we've learned so that best practice is equally transferred and migrated correctly. If we do that successfully, then it's a good platform for the two partners to begin to scale up those interventions. And I think it will be great if we could get more input from the community. The last question, Chair, that was raised was the kind of people that we deploy, which is why we move. Sometimes become deviant and cynically convey the attitude of say, I'm the boss, I'm not taking over, they become deviant. Yes, it does happen. So these are people that we're dealing with. The question is, what do we do about it when we are notified? There have been instances that we've had people, we've actually withdrawn some of them. Sometimes it's not necessarily the fault of the deployees, because the environment is a better environment where you check anybody in there, doesn't matter how good they are. Sensitive into the problem unless you fix that environment. So they too, you know, sometimes fall into the trap. But when we get to know about these things, we have to dive into where we can. In some instances we can't fix, we've withdrawn the result because it doesn't fit our criteria. So there have been lessons alongside it as to how not to do it and what we need to do to prepare the environment to receive these deployees. Part of the lessons that we need to compare going forward. So admittedly, yes, you know, there will be those instances because we're dealing with a huge task. We're not going to sit and deny that it didn't happen. If it has questions, what are we going to do about it? And hopefully, you know, we can address methods where we have learned. So overall, I think that is our content on center money, and we are happy to give the specific data that we requested, which we'll make sure we'll get, the report that tells you where each employee are, what they're doing, what projects they're working on at the moment, because that information is to pass on to this person. So it is there. We know exactly where these guys are doing and where they are, and we'll provide that information. On the training intervention, one thing that as you can see is 11,000 interventions. Some people receive 2 or 3 training courses at a time. You know, some people receive 1. We will tell you who it was that was training to one that report. We will tell you where we've been successful in ensuring that the training that they receive, the impact in the environment that they are. Because all that information, we've got most of it, kept up and audited. Because those are the targets that are audited in terms of the Commonwealth Development Fund. So the data is there. We'll make it available. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Beloy. You see, one of the challenges is, and that's one of the issues raised by the Auditor General in the audit reports, and also by National Treasury, when we look at the quarterly reports on spending, that municipalities have underspent their total budgets in 2009-2010 by 18.9 billion rand, or 8.9% of the total budget. Capital underspending in 2009-2010 was 8.5 billion, or 17% of the capital budget. Now the point is, this program is now split into 2 national departments, a
departments, the rest of us sitting here. How are we going to improve on this? The Kamishbar municipality only spent 14% of the MIG allocation in 2009-2010. And at the end of the day, the fingers also point to us as deployees, as members of parliament, members of provincial legislators, and councillors, to work as a collective, to sit with your municipality at least once a month and do that specific oversight, sharing information, take them by the hand because you're supposed to have information, and let's go forward. That's part of the solution. And we take this from the interaction we had, Select Committee on Finance, Select Committee on Appropriations, when we met with municipalities in provinces. So I want you to write that down, the department sitting here. Questions? Mabuchani? I'll start that side. Mabuchani. Advocate Tao. Mabuchile. Mabuchara. Your name again, sir?
Y-A-W-A.
Thank you. Your name again? Okay. Again, too. I've got you, the researcher. Round one. Number Johnny.
Thank you, Chair. We are still with caucusing. Chair, you see, I think maybe we need to clarify one another here. My understanding is that as committees of parliament and provincial legislatures, our role is to play oversight over the executive. Now, DBSA being part of the institutions under the Department of Finance, is one of those institutions that you also play oversight on. So, my understanding is that we convene here today to sort of do a post-mortem on the programs and the money, which we are quite aware of the fact that it's been unbundled as of the 1st of April. Now, if we are to do this post-mortem, it is my view that the purpose would be to give us some of the lessons and experiences drawn during the program period, so that we are able, moving forward, to assist National Treasury as the department that will be responsible directly now to deal with the deployment of capable resources insofar as financial matters are concerned. Help them with that to be successful and make our inputs with lessons drawn from this program, and in equally so helping the Department of Cooperative Governance insofar as technical skills and their special vehicle purpose thing is concerned, its mandate and all those things. Now, you see, yesterday we spent a lot of time trying to find out the actual achievements of the broker. You see, there's no dispute that for the past 4 or 5 years of the program, there has been a number of achievements. But some questions were like seeking tangible achievements. And we were promised that no, you are in a bit of a hurry. Tomorrow we'll give you the details. But today's presentation to me lacks those details that we wanted. And I'm afraid that is why you see all of us now want to raise questions. Because as politicians, for us to say this was a like success. We want to be able to say, look at Mamusa Municipality, for example, through this intervention that has 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Look at this municipality through this intervention. This is where they are today. They were here today. You see, we want sort of tangible things. But to be given just statistics that, you know, we have trained 3,000 people, we have taken so many officials and councillors, 7,000 of them were trained through the volunteer, like another thing, but with regard to CSM's amount, this is what we have done and all these things. It's not helping us, I must be honest. I sit here and find myself not helped by this presentation, because I will not be able to say to National Treasury, as you move, or maybe let me say, the reasons for the unhandling of the program is surely as a result of some of the submissions made by these committees of Parliament. It's surely some of it's because of the observation and some of the submissions made by the FFC. But at the same time, it is also on the basis and reasons submitted by Development Bank of South Africa in terms of the lessons, the frustrations and the challenges that we have experienced throughout. And out of all those things, we were all in agreement, both government and parliament and every institution that is playing a role into this, to say, perhaps if we want to be more successful, let's unbundle the CSM manager program. And Treasury, you must be responsible for this, because that is in the area of your expertise. And COCTA, you must take the technical side, because you believe you can do it better. The intention is to do better than what the program has done, or even achieved more beyond what the program could have achieved. I'm interested to know, like Honorable Masire was having on the issue yesterday, of all the interventions that you have made, unfortunately, I've taken note, Mr. Baloyi, that you are saying, well, to answer the question directly, where we are saying, if you remove your intervention, can that municipality proceed on its own? Then the answer is no. That's fair. We accept that one. But I was expecting to hear that of all the interventions, you have made 200 interventions, for an example, and of that, in 50 municipalities where you have intervened, at least now, you can say the project, the program achieved its purpose. Because one of the things that you contested yesterday, which I think we must agree on today, is one of the purpose of the program. Because sitting here, my understanding is that part of the role or the objective of the program was for the bank to deploy capable human resources with the purpose of building institutional and human capacity in those particular municipalities. You would remember yesterday we were saying perhaps capacity building is part of the is a byproduct of what it's supposed to be. But I'm sure today we should be in agreement that whether byproduct or not, but part of it was capacity building over and above unlocking service delivery packages as it is. So the program was good, we all agree, Mr. Baloyi. There's nothing for you to defend. We are not asking these questions maybe to want to score points or to grill, because you see, one of the problems is that people come to this parliamentary meeting thinking that you are going to be grilled and criticized. No. Some of us don't call you here to criticize you. We want to understand and have first-hand information so that when you make inputs to the ministry involved, at least we are well informed. You see. Now, I'm appealing. Can we be given information that would be helpful to us in terms of what is it that you want to do? We don't want a story where COCTA will come after a month or so, because we're still going to call them a national treasury, to now tell us that now that the program is gone and you are in charge of this and you are in charge of this, explain to us how are we going to move forward. But you must be able to say, remember, these are some of the experiences that DVSA went through. These are some of the challenges. We know for a fact the work done by COPTA, insofar as telling us about the political challenges at municipal level, hence the amendment to the Municipal System Act to address those particular political challenges, hence the interventions from the ruling party to sort itself out so that whatever political challenges does not affect that sphere of government. And a whole of lot of things, the introduction of the turnaround strategy and all those, those were the results of the intensive investigations conducted by that particular ministry, right? But on this specific issue, because much as we are saying CS Zamanje is coming to, has been ended as a program, but the responsibility and the role pursued under that program will still be pursued by National Treasury and COPTA this time around. And it will only be fair for you to share with us some of those things. Provinces are telling you that in certain instances, unfortunately, we are happy that this program has ended because some of your guys were useless. But you can say those are isolated incidents where people, just because they are people, despite the fact that they are qualified, decided to do certain things that they were not deployed for when they arrived at municipalities. Being part of whatever factions and political programs that were there, we are not interested in those things. But what we are interested in is to say there is a serious challenge in municipalities insofar as technical skills are concerned, insofar as financial skills are concerned. And because it's our problem as a country, all of us, how do we contribute? And as a people who have been running this project, you are better placed to say, take this direction, don't go this way because of this, take this one because of this, don't go this. You see, for the success of this whole thing. But if you reserve it like I can feel you are doing now, you are essentially saying, well, go through it and then you will find for yourself what is in store for you. You see? And I've got a problem with that, Mr. Badway. I'm pleading with you for the last time today. Tell us everything about this particular program. There's no doubt it was a success. Let's agree on that one. But we now need the details. Somebody even said yesterday, you should be, because of technology, in the position overnight to produce a report that says, we intervened out of these 283 municipalities. This is the municipality in which we intervened. In this municipality, we intervened in this way. In this one, we intervened in this way. This is what we achieved. This is what we achieved. This is not what we achieved, and all those things. But unfortunately, this morning, that kind of a report is not here. I was expecting it. Maybe I expected too much. I will accept. But please, share with us. Without giving us globular picture or statistics as if come to our level now. We are politicians. We understand this one now. Talk politics to this program. That's what I'm begging for. Thank you.
Thank you, Ombuchani. We posed this question yesterday as well, that DPSA supplied this committee who was deployed where, doing what, and what was the cost. Because at the end of the day, we must see with the value for money, if nearly R1 billion was allocated. So that report must come to this, must be submitted to this committee. You've got the information on your system, so if it can be done in 7 days, we would appreciate that, and submit it to the secretary of the committee. You want to come in quickly? Because
yes,
a lot of this.
I think
nine questions.
The member has made a passionate plea, and I want to say that, you know, it's not because we don't want to or we are holding back the information. Actually, we have got so much information on Tenza Manje. We've been sharing that with the colleagues at COPTA on a monthly basis or a quarterly basis on specific projects that we have done and what has been done. The difficulty that I found was that I probably didn't arrive at the same judgment as you in terms of the detail of what I need to big report that we produce quarterly. That when we say to you, we have to pick a number of infrastructure facilitated, you know, ranging from 1,006 when the project started to 2,984. You know, we can break it down and tell you what they are and what type of projects that those that are completed. We can break it down and tell you in detail, but there's just so much. You're talking, I said you were 5,000 projects. So as to how do I break it down into a municipality, 200 municipalities, and give you a whole 5 pages to you. What if we do, you know, I'm going to give you a complete report that you can read and see that I can't present it. What we're focusing on were the challenges that we envisage. That's why we're talking aggregate. And those, instead of us giving you our own view of the world, we gave you what we got, an independent report. And some of those things, you're confirming yourself that there were challenges. So I think we are happy that, you know, we have common ground on that. As to the detail around what we've done on each municipality, etc., we'll give you that information in writing because it's a big report. Unfortunately, I won't be able to tell you sitting here and saying in that municipality, here's what we did in that one, because it's contained in my annual report to begin with, which gives you the detail of what you have done, which you have submitted to this committee. We've equally submitted the actual review itself. So if the members want that, Chair, I think we will send it.
Yes.
We have that information. We just didn't submit it because we thought that was far too detailed, and we understood the question that we're supposed to deliver here differently. But now that I know this is what we want to do, we'll make that information available. And if the committee wants to come here and explain it again, I'm quite happy to do that. So I apologize that, you know, we didn't go to the level of detail that you need. But it's not because the information doesn't exist in detail, it is there, and we can provide it. And the colleagues sitting here can attest to this because they receive some of those reports on a costly basis.
I get the opportunity to respond to that. You see, this committee works with detail, the finance committee. Appropriations work with detail because we work with the country's money. We are accountable to the people outside. And that detail report is crucial for the employees in the provincial legislatures, the portfolio committee on finance. No. And so I can go on. Because at the end of the day, it's an integrated approach. We must get out of the box. And the sooner the better. So that information is going to the Free State Legislature, where Honorable Van Rooyen calls you, or the department, appear before his committee the way forward. It's going to be an extension of what is happening here. That's the other objective of this meeting of today. Honorable Advocate Kao.
Thank you, Chair. One of the lessons that maybe the bank can indicate is the impact of the project on high vacancy rate within municipalities. One would have expected that when people are deployed there, some may end up being absorbed or being headhunted or deciding to work within that environment. That can be an indication as to whether the project impacted positively on this high vacancy rate. Another thing is capacity building in terms of putting systems in place. I understand that in some municipalities, the deployees don't find anyone to empower. But there are also situations where you find that in municipalities, there is poor record keeping, filing, and so on. If a deployee is there to put systems, just to indicate to the people there, this is how you file your documents, so that come audit time, stories like no record are not there. And the last lesson can be issue of the audit opinion. The worrying factor, Chair, is the fact that while the audit opinion seems to be changing over the years, there is an indication that the number of non-submissions increases, and that distorts the overall picture. But maybe because the AG's office is here, they can also help as to whether there was any impact. a way should have impacted on the issue of the negative audit opinion. Yes, there are other factors that may affect audit opinion, but if they are financial, like record keeping and so on, none of skills, maybe they can be an indication as to what extent this project impacted on the audit opinion. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chairperson. Probably, Chair, I'm sure maybe we may have made a mistake right at the beginning of not indicating that the DBSA should try and give us correct information, honest information, without an attempt of defending, so that we are capacitated to assist. I think in the other oversight visit, I think we have been trying to make that particular announcement clear, that it is in the interest of helping that we find ourselves together here. And we can only make a meaningful help if we get the correct information and honest information. And therefore, the Chair, is that what I picked up, of course, is Honorable Chan, I'm sure he has already touched on it, is that there are elements of denialism and of defending things that we are saying. These things, we are on the ground, we have picked it up, it doesn't work, this thing is misleading, this thing is not actually yielding results, but we're not hearing acknowledgments of those things that have been picked on the ground, and that these are the things that we are hearing, and if this is 100% correct, the program needs to focus on those things and change them as we move forward. We actually hear defending how we have been doing that, and putting all sorts of myriad explanations. The fact of the matter, Chair, is that when we have intervened in a technical division of a municipality like the one that we talked about in Northern Cape, a small little municipality, where you put one official who knows what he's doing in the technical division, that municipality will be turned around. It's not like Johannesburg Metro, where you have got, where you need a whole host of professionals in order to turn it around. Certain small municipalities, you put a person, a finance officer who knows what he's doing in that small municipality, a lot of things get changed. Get changed over a month or so, get changed. But then now, the question that still remains is, why when we have put in a CFO in a small little municipality of 12 wards, and 4 years down the line, when you remove that person, then there is no change. We can't boast of any change or any improvement. And I mean, if we agree on these things and without actually defending by bringing all sorts of explanations, then it assists us to say, is this program COCTA is taking over the technical, or Treasury is taking the CFOs or the finances? Then they should be knowing exactly what to correct, not to take the program as is because it has been taken over from DBSA. And it's unfortunate, Chair, that we find ourselves in a position where we have to actually use time and debate in a way professional, as if we don't know what. after qualifying, they have to go through a whole series of other things before they are actually given their PR number. But it looks like there is a serious reluctance to just simply to appreciate that that word is wrongly used and it sends the wrong message. Ordinary people on the ground who knows nothing about engineering, when you tell them that they've got a professional, then their expectation from that individual is very high. They wouldn't understand that a contractor has abused any other thing and claimed more money for the work that was supposed to be done, which was not done. They don't expect it from a professional. But unfortunately, those are the things that happens every day on the ground. And why do we have to debate that way then when we actually know exactly? I don't know whether it's just simply denialism or just simply defense. But if we agree that the word is wrongly used and then we take a decision that we are going to actually look for a better word that is practical and it reflects the status of the individual so that even the people on the ground knows what to expect and they don't expect a professional engineering opinion from that particular person because it's not read that data. I'm actually saying this, Chair. It may be unfortunate because I'm a professional engineer and I know what it means to be a professional engineer. I know it then. So I really appeal that you don't send wrong messages and the MECs of local government in all our provinces think that professionals have been sent to the municipalities. When professionals have not been sent, it's people that still need to be molded, to be made, right at the beginning, technicians actually. And only after that is that they will progress to be professional technicians after they've registered with the professional body. Then, Chair, I think the other thing that I think we must get clarity whether DBSA has not made a mistake of taking too much work or money which they did not have the capacity to execute. I think we needed to also assess that. Because as far as I'm concerned, and of course I've seen one line on their presentation, that this many mandates have made DBSA to concentrate on short term. Is it correct that you've taken too much that you could not actually execute as expected? If yes, then we must look at that and then we must indicate properly that we need to address that problem. Treasury then must wake up and say, yes, we are a knowledgeable organization, but you are sending too much or too many assignments to us that we can't deliver. Hence, that's why we're finding ourselves in some of this particular problem. And also, of course, like as it has already been raised, is to interrogate the effectiveness or the impact of Vulindlela. Because all municipalities, I think, they are receiving resources annually for the training or capacity building in the municipalities. And if Vulindlela has been part of this program and they have done some work in training, like as we'll be saying, training people to actually keep the source documents, the invoices, which I think the Auditor General, I'm sure, is one of the unhappiest institutions, because when they go to these municipalities, they can't just find the invoices, the claim forms, the authorization piece of paper. People just simply throw them in the dustbin, whether deliberately or not, we don't know. But one will be understanding that the training in the municipalities should be to actually address those kinds of things. But then is the municipalities to date, when Vulindlela and Chenzamanje pulls out, people still throw the receipts and invoices to the dustbin. Then we have to actually interrogate the effectiveness of the training that Vulindlela has been doing in these municipalities with municipal officials, so that we are able to correct the program moving forward.
Well, for when can we focus our questions and come to the point, please? We're going to run out of time.
Yeah, thank you, Chairperson. You know, I'm sitting here listening to this. I'm on the one side glad I wasn't in yesterday's meeting, but in the other way, I wish I was in yesterday's meeting so that I can know what is happening here today. But while listening to the presentation, Chairperson, by the DMSA, the first thing that came to my mind is the saying is that there is no such thing as a free lunch. And, you know, as the presentation goes on, I might hear, you know, there must be a hidden agenda here somewhere. Because if you only can absorb 20% of the people that you have used, and only 58% of them qualified, then you have to ask a real, you know, question, why is that like that? Why only 58% of the people that you deployed qualify? And then to sit here and say, but, you know, it's nearly 100%, there's a big difference between 58 and 100%. It is a big difference, it's 42%. So I don't think, you know, we all went to school here, so we can do a bit of calculations here. But the question of there's no such thing as a free lunch is still hinders in my mind. Why did DBSA went into this project? And I think if they're really honest with themselves, they need to satisfy their own skills level in their own organization. I think that is a... the real reason why they went into this. But I want to come back to the question, and I raised it in that in the provinces, we never received annual reports from the Department of DBSA. Although they were running around in our provinces, we never had the opportunity to interact with them. Although in our province I was phoned one day by the MEC, the executive mayor of Mangoon, Kruid Manyoni, say that the DBSA would like to talk to me. That was 9 months ago. I'm still waiting for them to phone. So there is a level of arrogance also here, that they would rather talk to on a provincial level, but not on a national level, but also not on a provincial level. They must realize that there's three spheres of government. And if you start running around the provinces, you have to come to the legislature. And I think that is one of the things that I'm consistently saying, that people are disregarding or forgetting the second sphere of government provinces. That is why we have to come and raise issues here. We, you know, because that's the only opportunity that we get. Chairperson, the other thing is, luckily it's on the screen at the moment, the challenges they encountered. Now, that is a denial thing. It's totally denial. Because the challenges, the biggest challenge that they have got is there's no skills. But they don't say it there. They talk about structural organization and political, passing the buck, lack of sufficient strategic direction and oversight by government, passing the buck. They had for 3 years people in municipalities, and that is all they can come up with challenges. Now, I think I must agree with the Honorable Charlie. There's something not right. And that's why I'm saying, I'm glad I wasn't in yesterday's meeting. Or it's a pity I wasn't there. That's probably how I would have still be here. But This is the last question that I want to raise. If they were to intervene, if one of the functions wants to intervene with municipalities, and one of them is financial, look at the finance. The question I want to ask them, what relationship did they have with the provincial and the national auditor general? Because if you look at the annual audit reports, those that got disclaimers still get claimed. And it seems to me, I want to come back to this level of arrogance that they have. Because if they can confirm with me or tell me that they have a relationship with Mr. Ben van die Kerk of the Auditor General in the Free State, I will withdraw that statement. But I don't think they have. They come in and then they go back to Pretoria. You never see them. So I want to know, what relationship did they have with, or how did they report to the Auditor General on an annual basis? Because the issue was right here about simple things of documentation. Go in a municipality, there's no documentation. But then there's somebody of DBSA, a so-called professional. But the Auditor General gets in and he can't find the document. A simple thing. Do we have to send our people on filing workshops? So if they can just answer that question. But the one thing that I think that still remains, there's no such thing as a free lunch. Somewhere there's something wrong here. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. There were three questions. The other one, I would just add on the question asked by the last speaker. If we are saying 20% absorption, what is it in actual number? 20% is 20%. Okay, let us go to your page 5, slide number 10. Your challenges as they are standing there. I'm seeing number one, the majority of problem are the municipality structural, organizational, and political one. Can you please try to come out with the explanation? What is it? If there are those challenges, and what are the remedial steps? And all those manipulate 1, 2, 3, 4. Since you are you have started with this Sienza mandate on page 6. I'm seeing that Sienza mandate is now split between two departments, namely National Treasury and that other one. You are saying what was the reason of splitting it now? The advantage thereof. If it was explained yesterday, then I apologize for asking that, but want to be clarified on that. Thank you very much, Chairman.
Honorable Becker.
Chairman, a lot is talked about capacity building. Capacity building, how do you measure it? You measure capacity building by measuring performance. I was in private sector before I come to into the politics, and there we use internal audit reports as a tool to manage the company. I believe that if we are we centralize the internal audit in sections like about the district councils, like it the function of the district council, you can have qualified people, people who know how and know what to do. You've got your finger on the pulse and you can rectify mistakes and wrongdoings within weeks and not within years as we are doing now. Thank you.
Thank you, Shepard. We are briefed about Sienza Manje, I assume. Sienza Manje program.
Your province you're coming from?
Northwest.
Okay.
Chairperson, when I this program was introduced, I'm sure that I was there. I found it in the Department of Local Government then. That was 2007, or if not 2008. The questions that I would really like to ask so that I'm cleared. If you deploy a technician, let me say a labor engineer with a professional engineer into the municipality, does that person translate into being a municipal engineer or still as a DPSA deployed engineer? What is going to be his role? Can he be able to, or she, be able to say to the municipal engineer or the municipal, no, you can't do this because it's not in keeping with the, what, with the profession that I'm deployed for. Can he or she be able to say so? If you deploy a financial person, does this financial person translate into being a CFO of the municipality? Can you still be able to say no? But according to this law of the municipality, you cannot do this 1, 2, 3. I think actually those are things that we really need to find out. As to whether the mandate given to DPSA was the mandate governed by any legislation which themselves, as the institution of government, they could go there and be able to say, no, these things actually, as per this legislation, you cannot do this. Would they be able to do that? I think actually those are things that we need to clear. Because one time I was excited, Chairperson, in one municipality, less than that. They say, no, they have deployed actually a financial person. Then I got excited that now problems are solved because the financial person now deployed through St. Germain. But the head of the department then said, no, it does not work like that. The CFO of the municipality still remains the CFO. The CFO is still going to do whatever that he was supposed to do, the way he was supposed to do. So I think actually that's why I want us to really begin to have the understanding of this mandate that DPSA was given. Vis-a-vis actually the current mandate, which is going to be having, where the Department of Culture is going to do certain things, perhaps actually held by DPSA, I don't know. Treasury is going to do certain things, perhaps actually with DPSA doing those things under Treasury, reporting to Treasury. The other one question which I also want to find out, for us, it's special for me, because I might not be able to understand certain things and how DPSA used to do other things as having been deployed actually in the municipalities. If DPSA has trained 50 financial personnel, and this personnel is trained, qualified, gained experience, would DPSA then say to the municipality, no, deploy these people here in this municipality? Would they be able to say so? say, deploy these people, because I've trained these people. And they have also seen that actually they accumulated experience here in this municipality. Now, who is there to take this personnel and deploy into the municipality? Is it DBSA or the municipality, which perhaps actually is governed differently than DBSA? So those are things actually which I think actually really need to begin to unpack, so that we are able to identify and see actually the shortfalls of St. Amandla. Because it, I think actually it did have its own successes, and it also had its own shortcomings. One of them is there, you see, that first challenge, Chairperson. I'm a politician. Nothing, I don't know anything about finances. People actually count my money. The major problem of majority of problems is municipalities are structural, organizational, and political. Who can say that that is not true? I don't think that's true, because like, we are politicians who have to be honest ourselves. Yes. Can you say that is not true? It's totally true, 100% or 500% true. I had experience myself, you see, as the MEC then, who could not walk to the municipality and say this and this and this must happen. How much more to the institution of the government of the that is deployed to present. The other one actually is this vacancy rate. We still have the vacancy rate even now. When we also have the people who are trained, they are not absorbed. Is it not now coming back to us as the politicians, perhaps, through our oversight work, Chairperson, to be able to walk to the municipality and say there are people who were trained here, but you're still crying of the vacancies that you cannot fill. Where are those people? Then actually we help the people with skills that who are able to give skills to other people. Because DBSA gave those skills. Yeah. And perhaps the other one, very important, Chairperson, this is the lack of sufficient strategic direction and oversight. I think actually that is true. That is true. We may actually, perhaps with my colleagues coming from the Northwest Province together, disagree. But I think that is true. Because if it was not true, the shortcomings that DBSA had over the years were the first time people actually to understand those shortfalls. We could not, because we're not doing actually what we're supposed to be doing there. So, Chairperson, I'm handicapped because I was not here yesterday. I think I'm still actually a humble appeal to the DBSA, Mr. Balu, if we can be provided with those reports, they are going to help us. So that when this new approach comes in, we are able as politicians as well to say, no, these are the gaps that we need to close, you see. These that we need to keep because it is working. You don't have to break what is happening, what is working. Only correct what is repair, what is not working. Perhaps actually this approach is going to help because actually it said that it's going to go to the municipality now with the armed with the legislation to say you can't do one, two, three. Court is going to do that as well, which the DBSA could not be able to do. So I just wanted to raise those a few things, Chairperson, which must help us understanding what has been the problem. Has been DBSA the problem? They might have their own problem. Or the institutions actually that they were supposed to help, whether they were a problem, they were giving challenges to them. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thanks, Honorable Chairperson. I wish to
join other members who are not happy about the presentation. One member referred to them as excuses. And some members, like Honorable Yawa here, is beginning to make assumptions about what they mean about those podcast statements. And if you can take what the exercise led by Mr. Baloyi, you can conclude that what they are providing here is the chairperson's report, not a report that gives insight into the meaning of those. Therefore, it's not a CEO's report, it's the chairperson's report, more of a podcast statement at a higher level in terms of challenges. And then the meaning of that and the impact of that at the operational level, that has not come forward. And I think that I would disagree to say it is not impossible to provide the committee with a summary of the detail in terms of Eastern Cape 45 municipalities who have assisted 6, who have not succeeded in 3. The auditor general in the recent report, audit outcomes 09-10, you are able to get a summary of the state of municipalities throughout the country. So it is really incorrect to say we must leave them with this high level of thing which does not give detail. If you say, for instance, that if you pull out on the system CSN demand, the municipality will not succeed, how do you quantify that as a success? So, Chairperson, it is really a problem. You need that detail. And it's important that as provinces we do get the report. I support that, because municipalities are in provinces. That's where, you know, they are making these interventions, and therefore provinces will need to have a role to play. I also think, Chairperson, that if you can look at the overview, the 3-year overview in terms of financial performance, the National Treasurer has a lot to say here instead of being quiet about the matter. Even if you look at the 70%, 30% split in terms of financial performance, if then the preoccupation is value for money, how come they were quiet over this period, you know, when this thing is going like this? And you don't even get a sense as to whether there's been any intention. If you're saying it's limited in terms of capacity, you know, why then don't you focus in building a shared technical service at a district level, so that if you move out, districts are able to provide support to municipalities? So without getting the detail in terms of quantifying the successes, you know, it's very difficult to say there are successes. And I wouldn't agree that there are successes until that detail is provided and it's demonstrated whether really indeed there has been value for money in this exercise. As I said, that the National Treasurer really would be failing us if they cannot be accountable for what I would see it to be a crisis, if truth be told, because we can't be sitting with very, very broad statements, polar problems, structural organization. What does that mean? We can't be making assumptions about those issues. Okay.
The detail you're talking about, we requested, and we're going to give you time to submit it within 7 days. You won't get the detail today. To do so, come to the point with your questions.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. And summary of my questions, one is that maybe if the bank can clarify to the House in terms of the amount that has been invested in the project from its inception up to today, and how much has been spent out of the amount that has been given to the bank, as well as give a broad impact of that in terms of does that really value for money. Secondly, is that the president of the country declared the year for job creation, and all institutions are to comply to that. What I need therefore to verify is in terms of the number of jobs or that were targeted by the bank since the inception of the program, and how many has been filled and what has been the vacancy rate as the project has been running. Another one is the track record in terms of these deployees. Yesterday, we were also promised that you'll give us in terms of specific where are the deployees currently, how many have been deployed in municipalities, and how many are currently with municipalities, and what has been the current backlog in terms of specific municipalities. So maybe if we can also get a sense of that, what exactly is happening. And then lastly, it is the question of the audit opinion that as per the report of the Auditor General in 2007-08, we had four municipalities that did not submit their financial statement in time. And then in 2008-09, we had the number increased to 36. And then the question that lives unanswered is that what has been the target of the bank? Have they intervened in those four municipalities? Or one may further assume that instead of the four municipalities that did not submit, most of the municipalities that received disclaimers and adverse audit opinion decided not to submit at all in the last financial year or the latest financial year as reported by the Auditor General. And the last one, Chairperson, is the allegation. Yesterday, I think maybe the Chairperson would have, the CEO would have highlighted in terms of the allegations that were made to say some of the officials that were deployed in municipalities, they've been involved in tender processes. Are there any investigations that the bank is still, that is in the process of investigating and verifying in terms of the allegations that were made against the officials that were deployed in different municipalities? And if so, how many other investigations that are in place, and what is the nature of such investigations? Thank you very much, Chair.
Mr. Mopalai.
Thank you, Chair. My girl is just not also trying to open my mouth because it seems to me the history is from yesterday. Actually, let me say, in the Northern Cape, I wanted to ask for a report from DPSA because the last bullet there, the threat plan and the direction and oversight. I'm only 2 years and 3 weeks in this government. And 2009, I just heard about TBSA, but I never see them in Northern Cape. Then 2010, they come up. Now, I was trying to put my foot down for DBSA this year because municipality is going to submit just now because the year end is now. And I wanted to find out where did DBSA help and what was the outcome of that municipality. Because I was always asking myself about service providers and whether sometimes if they keep service providers like that, is there no way that we can keep the service providers up and keep DBSA? But now it's also not working for me because we still get disclaimers and we have to do away with it. Now, actually, that is why it seems to me the history was yesterday, because in the Northern Cape, I wanted to find out from the DBSA and the CFO forum and the internal audit, but now the right copy is not there. And maybe next time when we call them, then they will say, we have presented in the parliament, we don't want to come back to you anymore, because we want the secret. That's all. Thank you, Chair.
Section 69 of the Constitution allows and gives committees the authority to call any 21 in South Africa to Parliament to appear before that comet. Whether you like it or not, it will be done. So just take note of Section 69. That's in terms of that section that we also do our oversight work. I repeat again, the detail you're asking for, you'll get within 7 days. You're not going to get it today. Let me be clear on that. We must be fair as well. It is a pity that the chairperson and the deputy chairperson of the board is not here. And it's the last time that it will happen. Coming from the chairperson. We are going to break for tea. Tea is ready, otherwise it's going to get cold. You're sitting here since 9:30. I want you back in your seats at 11:45. Please check your watches that you are back in your seat at 11:45, because we have to give our other role players an opportunity to come in as well and make their submission. Thank you, honourable members.
Including the whole treasury team.
Coxa?
Thank you, Chair. Yes, with me is the Chief Executive Officer of SOG.
Sharp. Was it the General's Office?
Thanks, Chairperson. We can basically highlight the information that we prepared in terms of the mandate, of our mandate.
And we are privileged to have the acting chair of the FFC. He's got a 100% mandate. Mr. Beloy, I'm going to give you time. It's now 10 to 12 until 5 minutes past 12 because we've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 other role players here. We must be out here at quarter to 10 to 1. There's other meetings running on the administrative level that some of these members also have to attend. So we have to look out on time. To the other role players, you will have to organize yourself to do your submission within 5 to 6 minutes. Be to the point. We don't want an entree and a conclusion. We want a condensed answer or a response from your side. Because there will be another meeting of this kind where we will call COCTA and Treasury. If it must be so, call back DBSA when that detailed report is submitted to us. But we will do that in the management meeting to take that decision. The other thing is, if you read the annual report, it's two sections. The one is about the bank. The last section is about the development fund. Yesterday we did with the bank operations. Today we dealt with the last part of the annual report. For those members asking questions, what did we miss? We missed the banking side. That's all you missed. That's why we split the meetings to deal with the program today. Mr. Beloy.
Thank you, Chair. What I'm going to do is I'm going to spread the questions around. Some of them I'm going to leave them to my partners that are here because they're in a better position to answer those questions than we are. Suffice for me to say that we have an undertaking that will provide a more detailed report. But the context is that we actually did supply the information that traditional normally supply, and we supplied a special report on CNZMI that breaks down all those questions in detail around what they are. So some of the questions that are being raised actually contained in that report. There's further detail below that. We can go as deep as we want, but we did submit a report that actually has the substance and the explanation of why those statements are made around what is political problems. It is contained in that report.
Just on that, sorry to interrupt you, that's this document, the Genesis, the Project SHOP. Do you have this document? Could you refer this also to our research section?
Yeah.
We are here. To take out the nitty-gritty from this and to condense it a bit more.
Yeah.
Because I was looking for a certain page and I can't find it. Because that information is spread over 30, 40 pages. It's impossible to do that in 2.5 hours. We can't do that. So if you don't have this copy, please get hold of it, because it's an addition to the presentation. Yes, sir. Okay, well, we are waiting then for the detail within 7 days. Mr. Beloy, please proceed.
That's how we guide it. When we report to this committee, we give them information that they can still read. If there's better detail, we'll submit and we'll provide it to them. The question around the professional, we acknowledge that. As we're now discovering the technology is probably deceiving, and you know, going forward, the teams that are adopting the program will change that. It's not a denial of saying, you know, we don't think it's correct. So that will be dealt with. The higher vacancies, I think I'll leave the other colleagues to contribute because it's a localized situation. While we're having vacancies in the municipalities, I'm sure that some of the teams that are here can deal with that. The questions on systems that have been developed, quantifying those things, I think some of it is in the report, the annual report. If you want a 5-year history, you know, we just have to drag the information and we'll provide 5 years as to what systems beyond what GVSA can do as an institution. That's why that is being reviewed now, so then it can be conceptualized and taken to scale. So admittedly, as it is now, it cannot do, you know, everything that everybody expects, and I think it's good that it's going to be reduced. The issues around the percentage, I think the poll will, the 58% will contextualize that, the poll will respond to that. The legislature interaction, I'll ask you that to give a sense of what they do when they go to the provinces. We're probably not touching everybody that we choose, but there is an interaction that we do have. The fact that skills are a challenge is contained in the report. That will effectively specify the skills in local authority are a challenge. So it's not the question of saying we are not admitting it. It is there in the report. We just didn't list it on the presentation because we assume that the report has been read. The reason why the project is being split, I think COPCA and National Treasury can perhaps respond to that. That input. The issue around centralizing audit at the regional level, I think we'll take that as input, and I'm sure the Auditor General will respond to that as to whether, you know, it's something that we can do going forward. And then there's the question around the amount spent on the manager. I think Paul will give you the details of that. The role that our internal audit plays in terms of the cases that we discuss with local authority and how we share that with all our colleagues and partners. I think that there is a report to that, and incidents in the report, once the manager will give you, will probably pick those incidents up in those reports. I think the point that I think I'm going to ask Paul to deal with is to give a sense of how we document the systems that we've done, that they're there. And the effectiveness of the Bulinjal Academy, and the question on the 58%, which is actually number for the percentage, and Paul will respond to that. Yeah.
Thank you, Martin. Thank you, Madam Chair. Chair, if I have to begin with the expenditure on the program, Chair, the total amount of funding that we received was 1.3 billion. And this was split between 70% from the National Treasury, the MTF allocation, and 30% from DBSE allocation. 912 is from National Treasury. 912 million and 433 from the DBC. And the breakdown, Chair, has been over the last 4 years. The details are here if members would want to have a look at the breakdown year on year. Chair, what we are doing as DBC.
On year, you can also submit that as part of the detailed report.
Yes, Chair. We have it. I have it in front of me here, Chair. You have probably just provide that. Chair, what is the DBSA doing to ensure there's quality people in the municipalities? Chair, what we've been assisting the municipalities to do in cases where there are vacancies, one of the things that we mentioned to members of parliament yesterday was that budgets in municipalities to absorb some of the highly technical people are also limiting to the municipalities. In some of the municipalities where engineers are required, when we look at the budgets that they have set aside for that kind of post, it does not suffice. And many situations, Chair, discuss and have to downgrade that to a technician. But, Chair, what we've done to assist the municipalities is that we assist them to prepare job specifications, which are used for preparing advertisements. And when the advertisements are done, also we sit with the municipalities in the interview panel to assist, and thereafter also the appointment. And after the appointment, then we deal with the value chain, as I indicated earlier, in terms of the on-job skills transfer. Chair, what relationship does exist between us and the Auditor General? Chair, the relationship begins with our participation as we submitted to Parliament in our presentation
in terms of our support to COCTA in the area of operations cleaning audit. That initiative is coordinated by COCTA, but also participation of the Auditor General is there, and we work with the Auditor General in that regard. What we did year on year was that in our annual report back session, where we prepare our business plans, we invite the Auditor General to set the agenda for operations clean audit in terms of our finance employees. And he always comes and with a representative to make a presentation and give us guidance on how it should be structured going forward. Chair, in terms of the numbers, on the slide we had a bullet that was talking about the high vacancy rate. In our assessment and the way we presented it, it was recognition of the fact that there are very high vacancy rates in the municipalities, and therefore that also referred to the fact that there's lack of skills. We did indicate that 20% of the young professionals, and as the C indicates, we are going to review that terminology as the guidance of the House. 20% of those have been absorbed in municipalities. Our numbers are about 170. 20% of that is just over 30 young professionals that have been absorbed. The 58 is the total number. It wasn't a percentage, it's a number. We had about 74 young professionals who were young professionals pursuing the financial qualification. 58 of those have completed successfully their diploma. So if we had to look at the percentage, it would be very close to about 75% to 80% of those that have qualified. It was a number and not a percentage. Chair, I just also wanted to indicate that year on year, we do case studies that pick up our successes in the different municipalities. As the CEO indicated, these are recorded and we have them in the bank, and we share those with the House. And these are cases where some of which were even ready for talk about our exit strategy that we discussed yesterday. For example, the Sakisizwe municipality briefly in the Eastern Cape is one where we were invited to intervene. The municipality was having serious financial problems because of lack of internal controls. We deployed a finance expert who assisted to put in place financial internal controls, conversion to GAAP of the financial statements and systems. And then, as we talk now, Chair, the municipality has completely been turned around. At the time, the sheriff had attached assets of the municipality, including trucks and other vehicles. But as we talk now, we've turned around the municipality. It's got about 17 million on its call account. Yet, at the time, it had overrun almost its entire overdraft. So, Chair, there are cases like those, and we'll be in a position to share them with the House when we provide a detailed report. Chair, what is the intention of speaking to the manager? I think the CEO has talked to that, and we have indicated National Treasury and DCOP also talk about that. The allegations that have been made in terms of the conduct of the employees in the municipalities. Chair, we have received no formal complaint around issues of procurement. But as the CEO indicated, whenever we get any kind of indication of complaint, immediately our internal processes, disciplinary processes, kick in to deal with these aspects. Well, we have had a number of cases where we're sitting now, we've dismissed about 5 employees in the last 2 years. But these were mainly attached to misuse of our subsistence and travel policy, where the employees claimed they went to a particular place and they did not go there. We picked those up because we've got a web-based system that we use to monitor their performance and oversight on their performance in the municipalities, and we pick them up very quickly. And thereafter, the smell processes kick in, and we have expelled them. And we will be, Chair, looking at some of these where there may be complaints that we have not received, and we'll be in a position to deal with them. Lastly, Chair, when a person is deployed as an engineer, do they become a municipal engineer? There were questions that were raised about this issue. And what do we do about those that we've trained in terms of deployment? Chair, quickly on these last 2 points,
When we absorb a young professional into the program, so one of the guiding principles that we had was that a YP must be recruited and deployed in their home municipality. Our intention was to place young professionals in a home municipality where we knew that that would increase the possibility of absorption by that particular municipality. And therefore, Chair, what we have done during the drafting of the memorandum of agreement between us and the municipality was to ensure that we request the municipality to give us commitment to absorb these young professionals on completion of their training. But Chair, municipalities were reluctant. One, because of the point I raised earlier, they were not sure that they will have the budget commensurate with the need to pay the young professionals. Secondly, they quoted the Labor Relations Act and indicated that they could not give commitment up front because they needed to advertise these jobs and make sure that they give everybody an equal chance. So, Chair, that's where we are, but nevertheless, 20% have been absorbed. Chair, on the last point, for every deployment that we've done, we did share with the committee yesterday that we received a request. We go through discussions of the business plan of the municipality. We also look at the performance plan of that particular individual. We enter into a memorandum of understanding where we clarify roles and responsibilities of DBSA, but also roles and responsibilities of the municipality. Chair, we clarify in the agreement that there will be two lines of reporting. The one line of reporting of the deployee functionally is the municipality. And if it's a finance deployee, then to the CFO, and if it's a technical deployee, to the head of technical services. But we retain the administrative reporting line because we needed to deal with the issues of subsistence and travel. We needed to deal with issues on a shared basis of discipline, but also we needed to deal with the issues of performance and oversight. So directly, functionally, all the deployees report the municipalities. And lastly, Chair, for all the deployees that we deployed in the municipalities, we did agree with the municipalities that they will comply with the municipal code of conduct. And all discipline, if there were any misconduct, will apply the DBSA code of conduct in consultation with the direct report in the municipality. Chair, I'll stop there. Thanks, Eddie.
One last question which was raised, which we didn't respond to, is the role of professionals or young professionals as relating to the existing personnel that are there. Our deployees go there not to replace the CFO that is sitting there, whether they're actually a financial expert or not, they're not going to replace but to assist the CFO. If there's an engineer there, it's to assist that engineer. So they don't go there and they have no authority in respect of this one in terms of say you will do this or you will not do this. They are simply there to assist and advise. That is the role that we play. So in that context, you know, who gets employed in the municipality is the decision that the municipality itself will make. We can only give advice. So in that context, it's clear that our people are there purely to advise and to assist, not to assume the responsibility or the authority of a municipality which is appointed through legislation and other means, and this that I think you just said to have. So that, I think, you're correct in your assumption. Chair, will then pass on to other colleagues to add their input and respond to some of the questions that we haven't answered. Sorry, I missed one person to that on the legislature interactions.
Thank you, Chair. Our interaction with the provinces, mainly through the various departments where we share our programs, our offerings to the province, and also understand their individual programs. We also interact with the provinces through their collective provincial cabinet, headed up by the Premier, and we had a number of presentations at that level. We do not at this stage have a structured mechanism to report directly to the provincial legislature, but that happens indirectly through the briefings that we have with individual MECs at that province. But we
welcome the opportunity to work out any mechanism to deal at that level and provide our annual report in that respect. Thank you.
Just on that point, there is no structural mechanism to interact with provincial legislators. We're starting that process today before 1 o'clock. That you engage with the chairpersons of the relevant committees, the port of entry to the legislators through the speaker of the provincial legislature. The legislators do oversight over the executive. You can report to the executive, that's another exercise. But the legislators will call you. We want to start that process today. The provinces are here, they can start interacting with you, get your diaries out. That's what we did with the FFC. And the program is running in the same type of meeting like this. Then we go forward. Honourable member from Mpumalanga, I want to apologize. I didn't see your hand. Are there any questions that they started to respond that were not answered that you've got on your list?
No, Chair, thank you very much. No,
I apologize again. I did not see your hand.
A lot of things have been said, but maybe I can just request one thing as they respond, that you see, this is a social program, the Sienza Manji. And in their response, if we could also look at how we want to deal with the MDGs, at what level is this assisting us? I mean, R1 billion is quite a lot of money, and therefore this will have to take us somewhere. And in your report, that the chair says we can get in 7 days' time. Probably you could also, you know, flag this MDGs as to how far have you gone in this, and also look at what proposal you have in terms of us taking this forward. But Chair, again, I think I don't want to ever overemphasize what you're saying in terms of, you know, the provincial legislatures, you know, having direct contact. So there's nothing that stops us in calling DBSA to appear before us. But I think it's been, we again, from our side, it's probably we have not played the role that we're supposed to play insofar as this is concerned, particularly in Mpumalanga, where we have quite a few municipalities under Section 139. I'm very much interested to hear what the department's response would be. I'm talking about COGDA on lack of sufficient strategic direction and oversight. Very much keen to hear that, because really, from where I'm sitting, you know, responsible on those matters in Mpumalanga, I would take a few people to task if that statement is correct.
Thank you. Mr. Baloy, are you done with your work division? We're going to start with the Auditor General. I want you to go straight away to page 6, because the first pages are just repeating what the objective of DBSA are, etc. We know that. Take us through that, speak to it, but come to your... There's a bell going already. Get to your nitty-gritty in your presentation.
Thanks, Jefferson. When we prepared the presentation, we basically covered the three aspects that were requested. One was financial performance, where our interpretation was that basically the committee wants the details in terms of the expenditure level by financial performance. We've captured these details in terms of the annual report of DBSA, and these are the line items that we have picked up year on year. We have administration costs, which was increasing at different percentages, of course, year on year. 2007 was 1 million, then 2010-11, which is still being subject under audit, is 13 million. So I'm sure that they've covered basically the root causes to these increases. There was a second line on audit fees, where in 2009 and 10, the audit was done under DBSA, if I'm correct, under the development fund. That's why there are no figures there. There's communication costs, consulting fees, remuneration, subsistence and travel, as well as training costs on a year-on-year basis. So I'm not sure whether there are specific questions that the House may want to pose in terms of this financial performance. But if the chairperson can allow me, there's one question which was raised, which I would like to respond in terms of the mandate of the Auditor General of South Africa. The question was around the link in terms of the intervention that was done by DBSA and the actual results in terms of audit opinions at municipal level. I don't think as an office we'll be in a position to attest to the link, mainly because of two reasons. I just want to capture our audit approach as an office and basically emphasize the fact that in terms of the legislation, which I can relate to MFMA specifically, it is the responsibility of the accounting officer at the end to ensure that financial management is done in terms of the provisions of the MFMA. But however, our approach as AGSA, our approach is two-pronged in all the entities that we audit. We look at the financial statements and basically provide an opinion whether the financial statements have been accounted for in accordance with the prescribed framework. That's one thing that we do. Secondly, we've been driving the audit of performance information over a number of years now on a personal basis, where we say we are not only going to look at the financial expenditure balance sheet of the entities and municipalities, but we want to see the performance information that is reported at each entity level, whether it can be supported by documentation. So we are doing those audits. In few years to come, we'll be providing an opinion whether the performance information reported in the annual report truly reflects the position in terms of the audit evidence that we have acquired. So why I'm raising these issues, we can't necessarily link one intervention done by DBSA to the actual results at each entity level, because we audit those entities separately. So what we have done as an office, we have a huge drive where we engage our external stakeholders up to the executive authorities, councils for municipalities, where we say we can no longer afford to report same issues over and over the years where there are no changes at whether public entities or departments or municipalities. So we have taken a position that will simplify our messages in such a manner that we'll capture the root causes and basically recommend what needs to happen to basically resolve those issues. And we do the necessary escalation where we engage the ministers, we engage the minister, the mayors, we engage all the role players from CEO, CFOs, just to make sure that whatever recommendations we make, there must be an action plan that will be instituted and basically monitored, just to ensure that there's improvement in terms of audit opinion. Then lastly, I've covered the audit of performance information. In terms of municipalities, you'll see in our report that we also pay special focus on expenditure levels in terms of MIG grants, where we say such a percentage have been spent in a particular year. And we also capture the root causes why, if there's a significant amount that was not spent for a particular period. So I just want to emphasize that at an individual level, our reports are also useful in terms of capturing root causes. In terms of vacancies, it's part of the issues that we are reporting as challenges facing. that should be our input from our side. Thank you.
Thank you. To the AG, Proctor.
Thanks, Chairperson and honorable members. I think one should first welcome the engagement. In fact, it's very insightful, I must say. And what personally I appreciate more is the fact that there already are some ideas that we can take from here to strengthen our SPV program that is planned. And also indicate that we would appreciate an opportunity in the near future where we address the house, you know, on our plans regarding the SPV program. So we'll be at your service, Chair. And I will just deal, I think in the interest of time, I will deal quickly with about six areas that I've just collectively put as areas of focus that have been raised here. I think the first issue is the issue around impact. And we are very clear. I think any intervention or support that you put in that doesn't achieve the desired impact is you know, obviously there are challenges with that intervention or support. So we are saying in the new SPV program that we want to make sure that the major focus is on the impact that we achieve in turning around those municipalities. And obviously we will not do that alone, because you might find that in one municipality, to turn it around, it's not just only the issue of infrastructure or technical issues, but it might relate to finance, but it might also relate to issues of governance. So when we go in there, we must be able to take national treasure with us, but we must also be able to look at the governance issues of that particular municipality for us to be able to turn that municipality around. So that's the best approach of the special purpose vehicle program. The second issue is around the sustainability of our interventions, where we are saying that when we exit, you know, we might find that some or most of those municipalities will collapse. And we were saying that we need to ensure that when you move out, when you exit, you must put very clear sustainability mechanisms to make sure that you've built the necessary capacity so that when you've exited, there is capacity that is left behind to continue with the work or the function that you have performed. And that is part of our, you know, of our strategy that we'll implement through the special purpose vehicle. The third issue that has been raised by a number of members, and we fully agree with that, although they've raised it as a question, is the issue of authority. And I think our colleagues from DBSA have raised that also differently. That one of the weaknesses of the Sienta Manche program was the fact that the employees, when they went into those municipalities, they didn't have the necessary authority. So they would not be able to say to the CFO, CFO, what you are doing is wrong, you know. And you know, so they would unfortunately have to either play along or find themselves being kicked out of that municipality, or they could go back to DBSA and ask for support. And I don't know how much would that achieve the desired impact. And we are saying, as government, when we go in there, we go in with the authority of government, and we have the authority to institute if the municipality does not want to play or play their part. Then we have the authority to institute other mechanisms, including Section 139, including changing, for instance, MIG from being a Schedule 6, which is a MIG that's going directly, if they're not using that properly. Changing it from that to being a Schedule 7, where you provide it to that municipality as a grant in kind. You will still keep it, but it would be used in other ways for that municipality. So there are mechanisms that we are coming up with through the special purpose vehicle to ensure that we enforce the authority of government for municipalities to perform properly. The fourth issue is around think one of the members raised the issue of ensuring that is human capacity is strengthened, institutional capacity is strengthened. I want to add the third element to it, which is the sector-wide capacity development. You know, as long as we don't address the lack of skills within the sector general, within the local government sector, we will continue to have these problems where we fill the gaps within municipalities. So we need to make sure that it's a continuous chain, human, institutional, but also within the sector. And the situation where we train people for other sectors, that cannot be. You know, we invest money, and people, after we train them, they leave and they go elsewhere. That certainly cannot be. We'll bond them. Once we train people, they will be bonded to local government. That's the condition. And then we'll therefore be, but also we want to make sure that when we support, assist a municipality with the training, they also have within a particular period must make sure that they filled in that particular position, whether it's through the person that is bonded or acquiring that capacity elsewhere. But obviously, the first preference is to make sure that the person that is trained in that municipality stays in that particular municipality. Just going through the last two issues is the issue of the performance of municipalities. I think one member raised the issue of the capital or the expenditure or lack thereof in certain municipalities where money has to go back to national treasury. And one of the issues of this SPV strategy is to make sure that we identify all those municipalities that are not spending on their capital infrastructure fully. As an example, MIG is with us, and therefore we are able to see who is not spending their MIG, which municipalities are not spending their MIG to the fullest. And we then tie the support program with the spending of MIG. But I think, members, the other issue that we need to pay particular emphasis on is not only spending 100% of MIG, as an example, but it's also the quality of the spending. You know, you can report that you spend 100%, but if you haven't spent it on the thing that is supposed to be spent on, then that's wrong. You know, and there are many municipalities that is happening in. And we are saying that we'll be also monitoring the quality of the spending of the municipalities. And then the last issue is the issue around differentiation. There's no reason why Cape Town Metro or Joburg Metro are unable to deal with their own internal capacity issues, technical capacity issues. It can't be that, you know, they cannot budget or they do not have internal capacity, technical capacity, they do not have engineers. You know, if Joburg or Cape Town cannot do that, what about the graduate? It says there are rooms in Kulu for that matter. You know, clearly we're saying that we have to be more stringent on those municipalities that have the funding and the resources to deal with their capacity challenges, and provide more support to those municipalities that are unable to do that, that are not receiving enough funding to be able to keep a full engineer in that particular municipality. And the program is clear. So those low-capacity municipalities will provide more support. We are pulling out and, well, over time in those big cities and put those people in those low-capacity municipalities that need that support most. And put a kind of different support in big cities. And then lastly, the issue that was raised lastly by the honourable member from Mpumalanga, which is the issue of lack of strategic direction from the department. And my understanding of the DPSA's the DPSA identifying that as one of the challenges is that they are saying over the past few years when they were managing the program, the national department in particular, National Treasury and COTA, we haven't played our role in ensuring that DPSA do what they're supposed to do. And maybe that is true. we've been honest with ourselves, maybe we haven't played the sufficient monitoring and support role to DBSA. And to some extent, that has contributed to where we are. But we are saying to a very large extent, maybe the fact that the program is not in government also has contributed a lot to some of these challenges. And hence, we have then taken the decision as government that we had in any event initially had given this program to DBSA to pilot it for a few years and then transfer it back to government after that pilot. You know, and this is exactly what we are doing. That's the reason why the program is being it is being reintegrated into government. But what is very critical in that process is that we take these lessons that they have learned in the implementation of the program seriously and make sure that we don't repeat the same mistakes. And that was my understanding of that issue. And just to lay your fears, Honourable Member, is that we get different participation from different provinces in terms of influencing the national direction in terms of local government. And most of the provinces, I must say, they are participating extremely well. And one of those provinces is your province. There's probably one or two that I would say we would probably have a problem with. But we understand what are the issues, and we hope that will change. Thanks a lot, sir.
You've got the opportunity today, before you leave Cape Town, to interact about those problems and try and sort it out. That's one of the other objectives of these meetings, where we have a collective presence. What can we solve now, or what can we do on the longer term? Then we've succeeded in our objective. I'm going to give you some homework. In the Northern Cape, there's 85 vacancies in the provincial department of Gauteng. Seeing what you've just said to this committee, and your action plan as submitted to Parliament, the strat plan, how on earth are you going to accomplish your objective in terms of the turnaround strategy with 85 vacancies in the Northern Cape? You are since 2009, in 2 years' time, in a few weeks, there was one official at Kamishberg Municipality to try and put into place work committees. And we actually did the work for him as deployed there. What is the situation in the other 8 provinces? Because you must have operational people you can put in a car, expert, go and do the job and come back. Integrated with the rest of the role players sitting here. So that is the homework we are giving you. Treasury?
Thank you, Chairperson and honourable members. I think this again was to repeat what the colleague has said from COFTA, is a session that I think we welcomed. For a while now, we would have had this session some time back, which would have really taken forward many of the challenges into solutions. But really, thank you for that. The discussions, yes, we will take them forward. We will take all issues raised as well as we see coming through. I want to deal with perhaps just 2 issues or 3 issues, and the one is around structural issues. I think the main structures of government is in place, but we're not effectively utilizing those structures in the way that we can, in the most optimal way. Here I'm referring to the various structures existing. Like we have, and I'll talk more to the financial related aspects of the structures. Now the Technical Committee on Finance to do the technical work, the Budget Forum and the Budget Councils to take their policy decisions. But we also have the MFMA Finance Reform quarterly agendas that drive reforms. What we are saying is the regional and local CFO forums are not working. Out of this process that we looked at and examined with the DBSA, the ownership of some of these reforms have to be at the local level to start with. And some of those challenges are still there. So when we look at what CFO forums are really taking place, even in your own province, Honorable Chairperson, you find the gaps. When you look at these kind of issues, we then say, let's try and figure out how best to utilize those structures. The other big structural issue that I think is really, really going to be important for us to take things forward is the joint sittings of the committees in the provinces, the local government and finance committees. You know, it's good to understand whether they are sitting on a joint sitting basis on a regular way. I don't think that's the case. And that's possibly a forward-looking thing which we can always support. We can come, we can present there, we can gear those committees up as well, and we can get those two departments in the provinces to play the role that it needs to play, to advise and guide and also take the leadership issues forward and the challenges forward. So that's giving a sense of what can be done further in the provinces for the national, and having set the frameworks and engaging with this committee, and that will really be an extended arm that will really take some solutions forward. We hope we can make that also. The second point that I wanted to raise was when the review of the programs here in Zamanje was done, I think that's when we also realized that there are far more challenges out there than solutions. And you saw some of them very high level on the screen. But underlying that is some fundamental issues which perhaps is outside this committee. I may be wrong. It's around addressing the powers and functions of municipalities. I can give you a number of examples, and you probably know it yourself, where there's a disjuncture between the core service delivery of water and sanitation that sits disjunctionally between a district and a local municipality, and that creates its own tension around service delivery. Now, if we have to need to fix that up, please let us help each other, let's fix that. It's something as a core fundamental issue of building the broader capacity building base. We talk capacity building, we're talking across. We've supported municipalities, for example, to develop financial recovery plans. And some of the fundamental challenges there have been precisely the revenue-generating potential of the municipality and the powers and functions that are not aligned. So I just want to leave that as a point that the committee can take forward with various other committees so we can address that matter. And it's a fundamental issue of us succeeding in getting local government to work better. The next broader issue probably is how can we, as on the finance side, address the supply side and demand side. So when we look at reforming this whole process, the supply side was pump money at the problem, just keep pumping money at the problem. But the demand side, from the municipality side, was keep asking for assistance and continue asking for assistance. So we're trying to marry these two issues up from a broader strategic perspective. If we can think of it that way, we'll probably get more out of the programs then. Moving forward, we can sharpen up our monitoring, we can sharpen up our feedback mechanisms for sure, we can sharpen up certain other conditions that must be there in place. The next point I would like to link up with, and some of the broader challenge issue, was the minimum competencies. We have a minimum competency framework for finance officials, so people are training on that area, but we need to examine the rest of the legislation to figure out whether we have a minimum competency for a person operating a water plant, for a person operating a sanitation plant. Do we have it regulated? I don't think we do. So these are the challenges for us and solutions possibly as well to take forward from the sector side. I think that will probably set our platform and the foundation much more sounder into the future. We think some of this we can do differently. Also, when there's a 139 intervention by the legislature members who make those decisions, we need to have a plan before a decision is taken on a 139 intervention. If that plan is not present, a 139 is generally floundering when we start to look at success factors. So perhaps some of the issues we can help with, we can assist, and it all builds into this one building block. Chair, it's just a few issues that I wanted to raise. I think it will help us to take more of the challenges and the comments forward and put them in the solutions so we can operate in a very different way when we approach the issues. Currently, what we are doing in the transition is reviewing all the contracts of the experts that have been appointed. We are looking at where they've been deployed. We are reinforcing a second check with the municipality themselves. And we also want to reassure ourselves that the municipality actually requires that support, and it's not a duplicate of support that was already provided. In some instances, we found duplications of support previously done. So it's like a, you ask me for support tomorrow, you ask another party for support the next day, and you continue that way for 5 years, and you never get to deal with your own capacity yourself. So I think these are the possible also gaps that we've seen and the challenges that we need to overcome. But Chair, thank you very much for the opportunity. I think with the colleagues in the room and the various members here, we do meet regularly with the Office of the Auditor General to get a sense of all the reports and action plans, and hopefully we can contribute towards making that a success. Thanks, Chair.
When you review the employees still under contract in municipalities, look at the background and the track record of that employee, past performance. So in the education department, I'm a deployed teacher. Can the teacher do the work? It's a basic principle that you look at that. Salva, then the FFC.
Thank you very much, Chairperson, and good morning to all honorable members of the committee, my colleagues from partner organizations. I think as SALGA, we can confirm that we have participated at the various structures of this program, at least at the level of the steering committee that looks at progress on a quarterly basis. And the fact that from the inception of the program, thus far, a number of these objectives have been met, even though there are still challenges that, as the intervention seeks to assist, it exposes much more deeper fundamental problems that require major coordination. That's one of the lessons that we have also picked up. But where we are now with the design of the local government turnaround strategy, we are of the view that one of the key institutional vehicles that we think any next round of Sienza Manje ought to be anchored is really the embedding of those turnaround strategies in a form of municipal level turnaround strategy. If we are able to anchor all the required interventions going forward by routing them at MTAS level, I think some of the points that my colleague from Treasury TV is raising, balancing the demand and the supply, because you will have programs that are organically born from what municipalities require. And it would assist us in moving away from the historical setup of Sienza Manje, which was basically a response to pressures at that moment. You will see that in the evaluative report of Genesis, the main issue that seems to be coming is that, yes, we may have succeeded in plugging the gap. So it's a gap-filling measure. But to what extent can a municipality remain if that expertise is withdrawn? And I think members have asked that question. It means the municipality will not function. So it was a gap-filling issue. And we need a much more deeper intervention in the form of, whilst you are dealing with the gap, but have a hybrid mechanism of making sure the skill is also transferred and that municipality can remain. So balancing that issue would really take us forward. In the meantime, it's much more for a program that could be akin to putting a panado because there is a headache. So what are the deep underlying causes that cause headache? If you don't deal with those ones, you are likely to throw a panado every time there is a headache. And I think we would want the next round of the program to move away from that. But my colleague from Treasury also raised a second fundamental issue. There's a lot of structures in place around coordinating these programs. At the level of SALGA, across provinces, out of 9 provinces, we have succeeded to at least more than 5 to establish MM's forums and CFO's forums are in place. In other provinces like Limpopo and Mpumalanga, you also have them at the district level of a municipality. And what we do every cycle in a year with the outcomes of AG, we are able to go through that and run what we normally call budget weeks. What has been root causes that have been identified in all the audits? What are the new issues we want to take the budget forum, the policy making institutions? So we think that if there were to be deepening of these structures right across, you are likely to have that level of coordination taking place around monitoring and identifying the demand side aspects of the service. But the different part he has not raised, which is much more deeper, is a question of powers and functions. Perhaps it's much more reflective in issues of mandate, which is something much more bigger, perhaps, than ourselves as officials. If you look at the capacity building support, if we have the Sienza Manje, the best result that we need going forward will be the well-designed national and provincial government support program to municipalities. Because most of the time, when that does not work, you are likely to have solutions that are parachuted to local government. Because at the level of a province, you will find that the design issue, MEC for local government, is responsible for a number of functions and mandates. But a municipality that is supposed to be overseen by the province renders water, electricity, solid waste, and roads. The department itself is not institutionally shaped to discharge that support. If a municipality does not have that, MEC does not deal with electricity for local government. So a municipality has got an electricity problem. You don't deal with water. You don't deal with roads. They are in another. So that absence of a coordinated model at the level of a province results in a huge disjunction in terms of early anticipation of issues in a municipality. Because outside that, you will be required to rally around a number of sectors. So it tends to continue and perpetuate a parachuted model. So if there's a well-designed provincial and national support program, we think Chairperson Nsalga, a lot of these interventions can be identified and dealt with at a very early stage. The last point, Chairperson, that we also would like to make an input going forward is perhaps managing the art of the split. There's infrastructure, there is finance remaining at treasure in terms of forward-looking. Perhaps the housekeeping aspects of finance would be naturally belonging to treasure, your budget management, your institutional system. But the interrelationship between infrastructure and finance, it will be very difficult to split that. Because for you to intervene on infrastructure, you need better financing models. So to what extent would you guarantee a proper coordination of this program, even institutionally, split these two? So coming around that art would be very fundamental in managing the intervention going forward. Part of the problem that might immediately arise could be the targeting of the intervention. So if you've got it split, the sequencing of the intervention, at what stage are you going to say it is now appropriate to deploy finance and then at a certain interval infrastructure? So we think that the sequencing would be one of the critical issues if the split continues. How do we overcome so that we don't have a situation where there is a continuation of parallel interventions that are not mutually reinforcing around this matter? It might give us programs if it's not managed going forward. But in short, Chairperson, those are some of the issues that we think going forward would be necessary in the design of the next cycle of the intervention. Thank you very much.
Mr. Kumalo.
Thank you, Chairperson. I think what I can say is that I am actually very happy with the presentation that was made by the GBSA. It actually reinforces and highlights some of the issues that, as a commission, we have been raising around capacity building programs at local government level. And I want to say to the committee that we'll actually go through the detailed reports from the independent very key issue that even on some of the oversight visits that I've been to with the committee have been raised. That is the lack of strategic direction from national departments, and it's actually quite pleasing that those departments are actually accepting that that has actually been absent. So I think this should be building a foundation for a better designed approach going forward. So we will submit a formal response to this process.
We're looking forward to that. We will also engage with the FSC on their recommendations of the Division of Revenue for 2012-2013. There was a press release on Monday, so we will look at that to incorporate that into our parliamentary program. To Treasury, you mentioned Section 139 of the Constitution, but don't forget Section 154. That's where I stopped. Before you go to 139, and that is part of the action plan in the turnaround strategy. It's easy to run to 139 of the Constitution, but sometimes there's a duck and dive for 154, and we must address that. Honourable members, thank you to DBSA, Mr. Beloy. It was 2 days of serious engagement, but as Honourable Mashila said, we're not here to criticise only. We're not here to fight with departments or institutions. We are here to get service delivery going at grassroots level. That the people in Amarwal and Fraserburg can say there is improvement when we go there and address the communities. The same in Makwasi, the same in Galashiewe, the same in Galvandale in Port Elizabeth, and so we can go on. That's the role of the National Council of Provinces and the committees, where it brings together national, provincial, and the third sphere of government under one roof. It can't be done in the National Assembly. It can only be done in the National Council of Provinces. And we must utilize that more. Other one is the Oversight Action Plan. Also to our colleagues in the provincial legislators. I know the Free State's got a serious oversight action plan. My experience with that province over many years, since 1998, that we'll have to look at that, a better coordination. And then, when we give training to councillors, to officials in municipalities, yes, give the training. But how do you evaluate that person? Can he go and implement or she implement the training that he or she received? How do you do it? That person must write a test and give him a case study. And before that person leaves that venue, that person must pass the test. Otherwise you can't do the work. And we will sit year after year with the same thing. So we will have to start now and correct it. That the departments go out to schools, grade 12s now, and recruit students that want to go and study in finance, accounting, engineering. The people we want. And within three years' time, we're going to have them. After they completed their studies, put them through a practical course of 1 year, like a medical doctor, or a physiotherapist, hospital year, and then you nearly have a proper expert, like the Honourable Mashila is telling us here, can also make use of his capabilities. Honourable members, the last point on our agenda, point 5, is the International Monetary Fund, IMF, will be in Cape Town next week. In terms of Article 4 of the consultation in South Africa, that's a process they are going through. They want to meet with us on the 8th of June at 9:30. The venue will be conveyed to you. It will be a joint meeting of the Select Committee on Finance with the Standing Committee on Finance in the National Assembly, and I believe appropriations, in our case it's the same members, will then also be invited to that, but the formal notice meeting. Thank you.